This morning I'm going to begin a series that it comes from something the Lord's been dealing with me on, a series that I wanted to start last week but was unable to. And it comes from the book of Psalms, Psalm 18. Psalm 18, we're going to begin reading with verse 1. If you want to follow along in your Bible, that's fine. As you're turning there, I'm going to just read the parenthetical statement that begins Psalm 18. David is writing, it says, "To the chief musician, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who spoke to the Lord the words of this song on the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. And he said," verse 1, "I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my strength, in whom I will trust. My buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, and so shall I be saved from mine enemies." This morning I want to talk to you, beginning this series on talking about who the Lord is. I don't know who your Lord is, but I know who my Lord is, and I want to talk about Him this morning. Amen? Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, God, we come before You right now in the precious and powerful name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we come to You asking You, Lord God, that You would speak to our hearts and our lives. That God, You would cut through the clutter, and that Lord God, You would break down every wall and barrier. Allow us, Lord God, to be tuned into the voice of heaven right now. Lord, let us be tuned into Your voice. So that God, when we come to that moment that we must leave this place, we will leave knowing that we've heard from God, that we've received His Word, and that God, we've been encouraged, strengthened, and directed by it. So Lord God, we ask You to have Your way here, right now, and to speak to us. God, don't let it be the word of man, let it be the word of God. And Lord, we will give You and You alone the praise, because God, You're the only one who's worthy. In the powerful name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And everyone said amen and amen. You may be seated. Now, I don't know how exactly this is all going to work out, because I had planned on doing this series over the course of a few weeks leading up to Palm Sunday. And of course, we'll be beginning our series on hope, beginning Palm Sunday and carrying on through Mother's Day. And so I'm not sure exactly how all this is going to come together to get all of this out there for you, but what I want to do is I want to look at this chapter and I want to point out some of the things that David was encouraged by. Now, David, as he is receiving this and then writing it and then delivering it, he's remembering what it is that he's gone through as he was trying to escape from Saul, as he's been trying to escape from all the many enemies that he had. He is remembering what the Lord has brought him through. And each step along the way of David's journey, there was another aspect of who God is that the Lord revealed Himself to David as. And I believe that the same God who delivered David and revealed Himself in the midst of that deliverance is the same God who wants to do the same thing in our lives, not just today, but every day. I believe that there are situations and circumstances in our lives, each and every one of us, that we need the Lord to move, and we need the Lord to reveal who He truly is in the midst of those things we're going through. And so the first thing that I want to point out to you as we begin this series this morning on the Lord is I want to point out to you how that David began this all by saying, "I will love Thee, O Lord, because You are my strength." My strength. Now, when we talk about strength, we have all kinds of different ideas as to what strength might be. I remember looking, when I was in high school, going through physical science and looking at all the different elements on the periodic table. And I remember looking at all the different ones, and the ones that were the hardest and the ones that were the softest. And of course, I always loved gold. Anybody else love gold? Yet gold is one of the softest of all the metals, right? The next softest of the metals there ends up being lead. Now, if you had to choose between lead and gold, which one would you want? Gold. But gold doesn't really hold up that well when it comes to immense pressure. It flattens out. It's not a very strong thing, yet it's a very beautiful thing. I remember when platinum became all the rage, and then after platinum became all the rage, titanium became all the rage. And it even got to the point where people have started making rings and jewelry that is platinum, of course, and then I've even heard they've been making some that's titanium. Now, why they'd want to make titanium jewelry, I don't really know. I guess they want to make sure it's strong enough that it'll last. It won't break up. I understand, though, that when it comes to the titanium jewelry and even some of the platinum, that because it is a little bit harder of a metal, that sometimes it's hard to get off. That sometimes I've even heard tell of in surgical situations where they couldn't get someone's ring off of their finger and they had to find a way to cut it off because it was putting that person in jeopardy for whatever reason. Now, I don't really know what all those reasons would be, but I've heard it said that that is one of the issues that they've had with some of these new types of jewelry, trying to make them harder, trying to make them last longer, trying to make them stronger. So metals, we often think of as being stronger. When I was a kid, I always loved to watch the Superman cartoons and read the Superman comic books. And then, of course, there were the Superman television shows. And I always liked it. Why? Because he was the Man of Steel. Steel was supposed to be something that was strong, something that would last. And yet, Superman had his weakness, didn't he? Remember what it was? Kryptonite. You guys are good. Kryptonite. And it would make him the biggest, puniest weakling that there was. Now, strength, for us, we might look at it differently. We might not necessarily think of it in the lines of a Superman. We might not think of it in the lines of steel. We might not think of it in the lines of metal. But there are other things that we think about when we talk about strength. We think about military strength, especially in everything we've been going through over the past several weeks. We think about our military strength. We've got stuff going on in Afghanistan. We had insurgents do some things in Iraq here recently, yet again. We've got things going on, of course, over in Libya. We've had all these different things. We think of military strength. And you know the old saying, the one with the most toys wins? We always think of military strength as being the one with the most weapons wins. That's how that we beat Russia during the Cold War. Not because we launched a single missile at them, but because we had more weapons than they had, and they could no longer sustain what they were doing. And so we look at military strength. We think of that. We think of strength of character, that there's somebody who's got a real strong character. I think in my family, we've got a lot of people with real strong characters. Monica likes to call it stubbornness. She loves to point out that my boys get their stubbornness from their grandfather. Stubbornness, people of a strong will, people with strong character. They don't bend, they don't break. We have all these different images for strength. Yet in the scripture that we read, there are several different words that you have for strength that are right there in that passage. The first one, of course, we said that David said, I'm going to love you because you're my strength. And the strength that he's referring to there is in the Hebrew chazek, which means my strong aid or my help. And this is what we need to understand when we're looking at this. When we're looking at the strength of God, you've got to understand that you can't help yourself. Did you hear me? You can't help yourself. Now, there's a lot of great self-help books out there, right? A lot of great self-help strategies, a lot of people that have paid a lot of money to go to conferences and hear these motivational speakers get up and tell you how that you can help yourself. And some of that's good, all right? When all of the studying that I had to do in psychology as I was working my way through college, some of that self-help is good. But if it comes to the point where you're depending on yourself, then that means you might not be depending on God. Now, I know the Bible says I can do all things, but who does it say I can do all things through? Christ who strengthens me. There's that strength again. There are a lot of things that you can do, but you cannot always help yourself. And if you're always relying on yourself, you're most likely not truly relying on God. Self-help is a multi-million dollar business. As a matter of fact, I don't even know if I should go here or not. One of the largest, I'll just put it that way, one of the largest Pentecostal charismatic churches in our country today, you know what the majority of their message is? Self-help. It's a multi-million dollar industry. You can even buy the books from their pastoral staff and you read through them, and they will have different aspects of Christ and different aspects of Scripture in there. And they're good. They're great reading. But so many times at the end of the day, the emphasis is not put as much on Christ as it is put on you. And it's a very dangerous, slippery slope. Because if you can help yourself, you don't really need God. Right? If you can really, truly help yourself, you don't need me. If you can really, truly help yourself, we don't need each other. You cannot help yourself. David came to the conclusion that his help, the source of the strength for his help, was God. And that it was God alone. Now, this is David. He has mighty men that he can rely on for help. His mighty men can put hundreds to flight, according to the Scripture. David himself can go out against a giant with just 5 smooth stones and a sling, and he can watch that giant fall to the ground dead. Are you still with me? There's a lot of things that David can do, but he recognizes and he realizes that if all that he does is depend on himself to help himself, he's going to be miserable, he's not going to make it, he's not going to survive. He needs somebody greater than he is to rely on. You and I need somebody greater than we are to rely on. You cannot help yourself. We need God to help us. Now, there's another word here that you have in the Hebrew that also talks about help. The thing is, we don't usually translate it as help because the way that it is, it's a metaphor. It's a word that is a metaphor, or I said help, strength. Let me back up. There's another place where we have strength in here, and we have it written down as strength, but the point is, it was a metaphor for strength. I'm getting all tangled up here tonight, today. See, I don't even know what time of the day it is, right? Somebody needs to pray, right? You have a second time that strength is mentioned. It's mentioned in verse 2. And it says there, it says, "You're my God, my strength, in whom I will trust." Now, when we read all that, you know, we're trusting in the Lord's strength. That's great. That's very much like what we just got through talking about with "you cannot help yourself." You know, we've got to trust the Lord to help us. But that's not really what it says. What you have there in the Hebrew is a metaphor. The word that you have there for strength in the Hebrew is the word tetzur. And tetzur, what it literally means is rock. Now, you've got another place there that says rock. And it doesn't mean rock. So it's interesting because when we went and we began to translate these things into English, we relied on what some of the Greeks had to say when they were looking at it, and they missed some of the metaphoric aspects of what was being written. Here in the passage that you have, it does say, "The Lord is my rock," but there when it's talking about rock, it's talking about a high place, a high cliff, a high cave where you can see and you can look out. We'll be talking about that tonight. But here, where it talks about my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, it uses the word for rock that is kind of along the same lines that we would think of metaphorically when we said the man of steel. When we're talking about the rock in this instance, we're talking about something that's rock solid. We're talking about something that's a strong foundation. We're talking about something that you can actually come and hide in. And it ends up being something that intertwines all throughout this passage every other aspect of what David understood that God is. Because remember, we read there, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer. He's my God, my strength, in whom I will trust. He's my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. What he's saying there in the middle when he says, the Lord is my strength in whom I will trust, he's saying he's the rock of my strength. Again, a metaphor. He's the rock of my strength. And this particular word is used all throughout the Bible to talk about strength, in the Old Testament anyway, to talk about strength in a picture. Strength in a metaphor, so that we can understand how strong God is. Whereas the last word we had there, chazek, from verse 1, it's only used one time in the entire Bible. Well, where would that one time be? Psalm 18, the verse we just read. So you have the first aspect of strength being about help, but then the second aspect of strength is about a rock. 64 of the times that Hebrew word is used in the Old Testament, it's used to talk about an actual rock. Exodus chapter 17 and verse 6, you find that Moses is thirsty and the children of Israel are thirsty. And the Lord tells Moses to go to a rock. Out of that rock, what comes out of it? Water. And everybody drinks the water. And it satisfies their need. That physical rock, that was a tesser. It's supposed to be a strong rock, but in this instance, it wasn't that the rock itself was strong, but the water that flowed out of it gave strength. You have another instance in Exodus, that one of my favorite passages. We've looked at it time and time again. I think Jean said she likes this passage too. Maybe I'm wrong. Exodus 33. In Exodus 33, Moses is coming before the Lord and he says, Lord, show me your glory. Remember? And what does the Lord tell him? What? Where? What? Hide in the rock. He says, I've got in the rock, I've got a cleft in the rock, I've got a place in the rock that you can go to, and I'll cover you there with my hand. I'll make my glory to pass by before you. I'll remove my hand. You'll see my afterglow. But he says, you can't see my face lest you die. And so there was a literal rock that Moses went to, and Moses went into, and God covered him. And when the glory of God passed by, Moses stared at the afterglow of the Lord. He saw the afterglow of God's glory. And when Moses came back to everybody else, what was going on with Moses' face? It was shining. It was glowing. Tesser. Rock of strength. It was a place where Moses was able to go and he was able to exist in the presence of God, and from that place he received his strength. Here's the second thing you need to know. The Lord is my strength because you are not solid enough on your own. You're not solid enough on your own. How many of you are able to lay your own foundation spiritually and build on it? Who's our foundation? Jesus. Jesus said that there was a wise man, there was a foolish man. The foolish man went, what did he build his house on? On the sand. The wise man went and he built his house on the rock. Solid. And on that solid rock, when the rain and the storm came, his house stood firm. But when that same rain and storm came, what happened to the house that was built on the sand? A wise man's house went splat. Somebody remembers her children's songs, right? But the house fell. Its end, its destruction was great because it wasn't built on the solid rock. The Lord is our strength because he's solid. We're not solid. There's nothing about us that we can build on. But we can come back to our Lord. We can come back to our Savior, the same Jesus who said, on this rock I'm going to build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. We can come back to Him and say, Lord, I'm a part of that church. We're not solid enough on our own. But when we come to God, He's solid. He's rock solid. And so we can rest in His presence as a result. Now, that word to serve, seven times it is listed in the Old Testament. It's used in the Old Testament seven times as talking about the source of strength. In Psalm 73 and 26, we find that David said that, Lord, You're the strength of my heart. You're the source of my strength. We think of our heart being the source of our life. The Hebrew understanding was that life was in the blood. The heart pumps the blood. If the heart stops, then you die. Isn't it amazing? We found out it still works that way today. Right? So the heart was the place of life. And David said, Lord, You are the strength of my heart. You're the one who supplies the strength to my heart. In Isaiah 17 and 10, God spoke through Isaiah and said that the children of Israel had come to the point where they forgot the rock of their strength. It's interesting because that word rock of their strength, it's just the one word to serve. You've forgotten your to serve. You've forgotten the rock from whence your strength flows. Well, what does that remind us of? That reminds us of that rock in the wilderness where the water came out when they were thirsty. And God passed judgment on Israel because they forgot their rock, the source of their strength. Isaiah 26 and 4, Isaiah says that in the Lord Jehovah, there is everlasting strength. Again, that word strength is to serve, the rock of strength. What are you trying to get at, Brother Darrell? What I'm trying to get at is this. Strength does not come from you. You've got to know the source of your strength. How many of you have heard that there's strength in numbers? Yeah, we've heard it. Strength in numbers. Yet, the majority of Americans in this country believe that abortion is wrong, and yet, we still have abortion on demand. What are you trying to say there, Brother Darrell? What I'm trying to say is this. There's no such thing as strength in numbers anymore. Strength doesn't come from us. The source of our strength is not Washington, D.C. It is not Charleston, West Virginia. It is not City Hall. The source of our strength is not in whatever kind of vitamins that you're taking. The source of our strength is not in what kind of supplements that you are daring to endure. Remember the old cartoon of, I think it was Charles Atlas. Remember the skinny guy, and he goes to the beach. And somebody kicks the sand on him, and he makes up his mind, I'm not going to have that happen to me again. And he goes and he starts exercising, he pumps up, he gets that big muscular body, he goes back to the beach and he goes looking for those same people that had picked on him before. He was trying to tell everybody, you can make yourself strong enough. Let me ask you this. How many of you have seen Charles Atlas lately? Where is he now? He's in the grave. What good does all that muscle building do now? We are not the source of our strength. The Lord is. The Lord is. So when David is saying, you know what? You're my strength, and so therefore I'm going to put my trust in you. He's not just saying, you're the one who's strong. He's saying, you're my solid rock. He's saying, you are the source of my strength. And then there's two other times that tesur is used in the Old Testament that I think go hand in hand with what David is saying too. They're used in Isaiah and they're used in Habakkuk, the only two places that it's found working this way. And in both cases, God is talking about judgment that's coming, but yet He says that He's going to show His strength for for his people during the time of judgment, that he will be their rock of strength during the time of judgment. Well, the reason that I give you that is because the way that it's used there, it's sometimes translated as he will show himself mighty for his people in the time of judgment. Mighty is another aspect of strength. And you've got to understand that God alone is mighty. Zechariah received of the Lord, it's not by strength, it's not by might, but it's by the Spirit, by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Whatever the problem is in your life is what Zechariah received. Whatever the problem is in your life, and he's saying this to the person who should be king, but he's only governor, Zerubbabel. And he says, Zerubbabel, you know what? God's got a great plan for your life. And whatever the problems are, whatever the obstacles are that are in the way, whatever the mountains are, the Lord is saying he's going to make them into a flat, level plain, because it's not about your strength. It's not about your might. It's about the might of God. Every person in this room, especially the young people here this morning, God has a destiny for your life. He has a plan for you that is perfect. A plan for you in which he doesn't even want you to lack anything. Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He's got a plan for your life. He sees exactly where you are, and he knows all the mountains that are in your way. But the same word that God gave to Zerubbabel, I believe that God wants us to pick up on it. And in regard to our destiny, in regard to who God wants us to be, we need to say, whatever that mountain is, it's going to be removed. Whatever that mountain is, God's going to lay it flat. It's not about me. It's not about what I can do. It's not about who I think I am. It's all about who he is, and he's the rock of my strength. He's the mighty one, and I rely on his Spirit. So David says, Lord, I love you because you're my strength, the strength to help me. And then he goes on to say, you're my God, you are my solid rock, you are my strong rock, in whom I will trust. Well, that word, those words there, in whom I will trust, it literally means in whom I will take refuge. And let me try and describe this for you in a way that we can all understand it, so you understand that we're actually, these phrases are in agreement. They're not contrasting and contradictory. In whom I take refuge is the same as in whom I will trust. For instance, I have seen some vehicles. I'm sure Randy could tell all kinds of stories about this. I've seen some vehicles that as they're moving along, you can see light coming up through the bottom of the floor. I have seen vehicles that rattled so much I was afraid a wheel was going to fall off or the engine was going to fall out. I do not trust those vehicles. I will not get into one of those vehicles to have it carry me someplace I need to go. Right? On the other hand, I've seen other vehicles that are built strong. The Humvee. How long have we been praying for that? I've seen that Humvee that is built, now not the cheap commercial ones that are out there. I say cheap, they're not cheap. Not the commercial ones that are out there. I'm talking about the military Humvee. The military Humvee, they build it, they put armor on it. They have it plated. They can drive through, what is it, up to 6 feet of water? They can drive through up to 6 feet of water. They can go up a sharp incline. Those things are built to withstand just about anything. Now, we've had a lot of problems with some of them lately that didn't have all the plating. When they, especially during all the problems we had in Iraq with insurgents, we had some issues with some of the Humvees because they didn't have their plating yet. But I would much rather be in one of those Humvees, taking refuge in a Humvee, than I would in some rattle trap if I'm going through a war zone. You know what? I think I would much rather be inside a tank in a war zone than a VW bug. David said, "You're my strength in whom I will trust." He said, "You are the rock of my strength in whom I will take refuge. I trust you. I know that you're strong enough. I know that you're able. I know that you're capable. I trust you that I'm going to seek my refuge in you. I'm going to be in you. And because of that, your strength is all that I need." The Apostle Paul teaches us that in our weakness, God's strength is made, anybody remember this one? Perfect. In our weaknesses, God's strength is made perfect. Now, I don't know about you, but I know about me. I know I am weak. Spiritually, it doesn't matter where I've been or what I've done. I know spiritually I have a tendency to be weak. But even in the midst of my weakness, God's strength is made perfect if I'll just trust in Him, if I'll take my refuge in Him. I can't help myself. I'm not solid enough on my own. I can take my refuge in Him. I can come to Him. And He's rock solid, strong to take care of you. Now, there's another place in the Scripture that can be translated as strength as well. We're actually going to talk about that another time. It talks about the horn of our salvation, and that word horn is literally the word for strength. And I'll just give you kind of a preview of that. That way, if we don't make it all the way through the series, you at least get this part, right? The horn of my salvation. We talk about the Lord being the horn of salvation. We look at all these things. The metaphor that is used there for horn, some people have said, well, it's because they would take up a horn and drink out of it at the time of victory. Well, that's not really the right region of the world for that. Some people might have done that, but that wasn't the normal thing. The best understanding is that it refers to the horns of a bull. The horns of a bull. There's a dual connotation here when it comes to the horns of a bull. Number one, if you have a strong bull that's charging you, where do you want to be? Anywhere except in front of the bull, right? You want some rodeo clown to jump out there and save your skin. The other connotation is this. What did they use the bulls for at the temple? Sacrifice. It was the ashes of the red heifer that would purify everything once they would get ready to set up the temple. Red heifer, bull. Our strength comes from somebody who is both able to charge at our problems and yet sacrifice himself in our place. So this morning, I want you to make sure you know who your Lord is. Is your Lord your strength? What is your strength? What is it that is the source of your strength? What is it that you rely on the most? Something happens to you on your way home. God forbid that this would happen to anybody, but you're in a traffic accident. You're taken to the hospital. Your insurance isn't going to cover everything for whatever reason, or maybe it will. You don't know. You're having all kinds of complications, all kinds of problems. You're wondering if the guy that hit you is insured. You don't know. What are you going to depend on? You're going to depend on your insurance company. You're going to depend on your check account. You're going to depend on the strength of your physical body to get back up and at them. You're going to depend upon your church family to come and to visit you, or you're going to depend upon us to pray for you. You're going to depend upon family and friends. Where will your strength come from? The Lord wants to be your strength. So that even if there is no insurance, even if there is no hope in the natural, even if nobody else even knows that you're there, you can know that God is there. He's your helper, because you can't help yourself. He's your solid foundation, because you're not solid enough on your own. He's the source of your strength, because you can never get strong enough by yourself. You can never generate your own strength. And finally, He alone is mighty. He wants to display and show His might for you, so that you can take refuge in Him. Will you stand this morning? Every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around. If you're here this morning and you would say, "Brother Darrell, I need you to pray for me for that strength of the Lord in my life." Whatever it is that you're going through. And you'd say, "Brother Darrell, I want you to pray for me that I can have that strength of God in my life." Will you just raise up your hand right where you are? Several hands are raised. Anyone else? Hallelujah. Here's what I want everyone to do. I know this may seem a little awkward, a little bit uncomfortable. I'm going to ask everyone, if you will, to kind of go across the aisles and take the hands of somebody beside you. Make sure that everybody is connected to someone else. If you can all just connect hands as best you can across the aisles, make sure everyone's connected to somebody. And here's what I want you to do. We'll just go ahead and connect everybody together. How's that sound? Jackson, if I could get you to step back a little bit so we can get Lynette into there. And then I think we'll just about all be connected. Oh, never mind. The youth are going to move over there, Jackson. I think that we've got it that way. I want you to pray for the person beside you while I pray for everyone. I want you to pray that God will be their strength, that He will reveal Himself as strong, that He will reveal Himself as mighty, and that they will know they don't have to depend upon themselves, they don't have to worry about anything. They can know beyond the shadow of a doubt that it's okay, even as Alfred said, "Why in the world does he need to worry?" Right? All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, right now in the name of Jesus Christ, God, we come before You, acknowledging You, Lord God, knowing that You, Lord, are right here in this place right now. God, You are our strength. Lord, You are our source of strength. God, You are our strength of help. Lord, You are our rock of strength, our sure foundation. God, You are the strength. You are the mighty one, God. You are all that we have need of. And so, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name over every person that is here, God. I pray, Lord, that You raise up a standard against the enemy, that, Lord, You give strength in their lives, that, God, You quicken their bodies, that, Lord, in Jesus' name, You allow it to be seen that You are the one that is strong. You are our strength. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray, God, no matter what adversity that we might be up against, no matter what we might face, that, God, every person here will know beyond the shadow of a doubt that they can take refuge in the One who is their strength, the rock of their salvation. They can take refuge in You, Lord God, and they can know, Lord, that no matter what comes their way, greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. Father, I pray for the destiny that is in this room. I pray for the destiny that is in everyone, Lord God, from the oldest to the youngest. God, I pray for that destiny, that, God, You will unfold it and You will direct it and You will guide it. And that, Lord, every one of us will rely wholeheartedly on Your strength, on Your power, on Your might, not our own, God. We will rely on You. So, Lord, right now, in Jesus' name, be our strength. Be the strength of our help, God. Lord God, in Jesus' name, be our strong foundation. Lord, in Jesus' name, God, be the source of our strength. And Lord, show forth that You are the mighty one. In Jesus' name, let Your strength be ours. encourage us, God. Lift up our heads. Lord, you lifted up David so many times that he finally got to the point where he learned how to lift up his own head. God, in Jesus' name, lift up our heads. Encourage us, Lord. Strengthen us, God. We can do all things through Christ who gives us the strength. So in Jesus' name, let it be done. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, Heavenly Father, we pray your kingdom come, your will be done here on earth, even as it is in heaven. Go with us today. Keep your hand upon us. Protect us. And Lord God, when it comes time for us to come back and get the second part of this sermon, God, Lord, let us come ready and eager, anticipating what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.